flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We did hear from Tommy Reese today. That was fun.
Was it? Huh? He's like a Stefanski clone.
Stefanski made a jokey. Jeff Shadell wanted a question, and he said nope and walked off. That's that character. That Kevin Stefanski.
What a riot. He came in A-form today, didn't he?
He did.
Cold bothered Stefanski today.
Actually, I got to give old Kevin Rooney a little bit of credit here.
Kevin Rooney?
Yeah, we're trying it. We're seeing where it goes from there.
Kevin Rooney.
But old Kevin Rooney, he just came right in, said, yeah, we like Tommy Reese, and I'm taking back the play calling, and see ya. That's the way you do it.
Well, no. He said, and I reserve the right to change my mind, which was such a weird way to put that.
No, that's another attempt at humor from Kevin.
Oh, you think that was a joke?
Yeah, I think that's some Ivy League, I'm very funny, but dry and sarcastic funny.
Oh,
yeah.
I missed it completely then. If that's his audition for the Chuckle Hut, he's got a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, he's no Larry the Cable Guy.
I thought you were going to say Sebastian Maniscalco.
Have some Senka.
Someone step on a duck.
No, Daryl, no one stepped on a duck.
Nobody? Not yet, they haven't. Maybe Kevin. Maybe if he doesn't get the laugh, that's where he goes. He goes from dry humor to a prop guy with, like, 2 bad jokes.
Golly willikers.
I don't know that he was joking. I genuinely think he was, like, preparing everyone to be like, listen, if I change my mind, you don't use these words against me.
Yeah, so the guy who only gave up play calling when it became very apparent that the offense was DOA and he wanted to get as far away from that offense as quickly as humanly possible. Like he was Rose on the dais on the Atlantic waters as Jack's like, never let go. And like, of course I never will. That's what he was to play calling this year.
Rose was problematic. I mean, let's be honest about it.
That's Kevin Stefanski.
Rose is a very problematic character.
Like, look to the extreme depths it took for Kevin to be okay. I mean, gotta distance myself from
DiCaprio.
The offense.
Like it wasn't even a question to her.
He snatched it back. He's taken it. It's done.
Also, by the way, she held on to that piece of jewelry that was very expensive for a very, very long time. Sell that thing.
Yeah, while her husband, the man that, you know, actually sired her children, that took her in, built a house with them. That man
She's
broke
not a horse
his
in the
neck.
Derby.
He broke his neck and back to go ahead and make a living for them at any point. She could have sold that thing.
But we don't know.
And
he
let
might,
that
he might
man
have been
retire.
A deadbeat. We don't have the follow-up story of him.
He
we don't
died
know,
at
we don't
60
know what
from
his
throat cancer, and we all know it.
Oh, sure.
And it was the day before he was going to retire.
Maybe he was just kind of bumming it the entire time up until 60.
No.
We don't know these answers.
Did you see Rose in her prime?
We don't know these answers.
Come on. Kate Winslet in her prime isn't going to get an A1 whatever she wants.
Maybe she just looked at it and was like, I can never get as good as Leo. We'll just settle for whatever happens.
Someone step on a duck.
Just going to get Fatty Arbuckle. Yeah, that's exactly how that went.
I don't know. I heard Darryl on Baskin and Phelps saying he wouldn't be surprised if Stefanski gives off the play calling duties at some point.
No, he snatched him back. That's what this is.
I think so, too. I agree with you. But that's because I believe this is what Stefanski thinks he's great at.
Yeah, and by the way, it makes sense.
Yeah, I would do it too, by the way. I'm not judging this at all from that perspective. If my job was on the line, I'm taking back as much control as I possibly can.
Well, and I think he's more comfortable there. And some coaches need their comfort, right? The thing that you're comfortable doing is and the thing that you're good at, I mean, Kevin is good at play calling, and we got a taste of him as a CEO. I actually thought I thought some of the issues cleared up with Kevin as CEO. But it's very apparent that
still a lot of issues.
His lane. Well, I think it was the Titanic about halfway up when it was tilting at the angle that you knew it was going to snap. That's
honest.
What the Browns was going
to
do.
Let's be honest on what happened here. I mean, he gave it off. He gave it off to Dorsey when he knew Dorsey was not. There was no chance of succeeding and looking good at the end of it.
Yeah. So this is. Well, I didn't really want to give up in the first place. I only gave it up to give Ken a fair chance. Wink, wink.
Yeah, wink, wink.
And now it's mine. And now it looks like here I come to save the day, taking it back over. Which again, this is what I want. You failed abysmally trying to build an offense that wasn't yours. Don't ever do that again. All right, get your whoopee, get your play calling sheet back, get another whoopee and a quarterback that fits that system to a T. And listen, there are people out there who go and make the claims of, well, you got to get the quarterback and then conform the system, like hell.
Well, that's what Tommy Reese was so confusing about. Yeah, but that's what Tommy Reese said today. We have the clips. We have the audio. That's what he said. You have the flexibility to be able to cater to any quarterback strengths.
Yep.
Like he's suggesting that you're going away the exact opposite of what you just suggested right there.
And show me on the doll where they've done that the last 5 years successfully. When quarterbacks have conformed themselves
that's what made today so interesting is that he spent 2 years trying to really it was really 1 year trying to placate Deshaun Watson and go back into everything that Deshaun can do great, even to the hiring of Dorsey. That was all in the name of giving Deshaun Watson a chance, and now it seems like they're still open to that philosophy where I thought Stefanski was going to be like, this is my system, I'm getting the quarterback to fit my system, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going
to
do it.
That's exactly what I expected to be. Coaches say things, and then their actions speak volumes. And I think in this case, the coaches said things, and some of them I do think there's more validity to than others. And listen, I think Tommy's speaking about a principled approach. That doesn't mean in reality, when it's Kirk Cousins or Sam Darnold or Shador Sanders, it doesn't mean that we're just not going to go right back to the offense that Kevin is most comfortable with.
Well, you can also stand at the podium, too, and say, we saw this from player X, Y, and Z, and he fits the system that we want. It doesn't have to be so black and white.
Yeah, but I think this is the kind of thing you say that indentures maybe a little bit of faith in fans of, oh, they're not just going to fit it into Kevin's system. Hogwash.
Well, I wonder,
that's what they've done the previous five
but
years.
But I do wonder if that narrative is starting to be built up. The idea that Stefanski only can do it with quarterbacks that are within his system, and maybe this is them trying to almost rewrite that narrative. Now, actions are the only way you can actually rewrite that narrative, but it might be their way of trying to get everyone to be like, no, we're malleable.
They love they use that word today.
I know. And the moment Tommy Reese did it, we all thought to ourselves, ah, this is how he got the job.
Yeah.
He uses nice words like that that Kevin Stefanski clearly enjoys.
I'm still waiting for my offer.
You fit right in. You're perfect for them.
People have been saying that a lot about me with the Wall Street guys.
You're in the Stefanski system.
Yeah, people are like, Nick Wilson's the Kevin Stefanski.
If you just you're not milquetoast enough, man.
It's true.
Yeah. That's your big flaw. Yeah. You say big
like
words,
house.
Which is nice.
I'm like house.
You're a house?
No, I'm not a house, although no. I am a house.
Yeah, house is that TV
show. I'm Dr. Gregory House.
No.
I'm outrageous, but I'm also a little sophisticated. Smarter than you think.
Yeah, House just pissed everyone off, though.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all right, no argument from me.
Okay,
all right,
yeah.
No, yeah. All right, ask
and
answer.
And thank you for not saying, yeah, you're like Fat House. Which is the other way you could go with that.
I don't do that to you. You do that to yourself.
No, it is the perception of like when people, it's like it's the movie comparison thing all over again. It is the, you remind me of Elvis, .. if he were fat.
And give it's me never, more fat, man.
It's never like the comparison to a skinny person is never one for one. There's always, if he were bigger. And it's like, wait. Can't you just say that I remind you of Elvis? Which, by the way, I've never gotten Elvis. I'm just pointing out.
It'd be funny if you did, though.
Like, you know, fat DiCaprio. Okay, I'll just take DiCaprio.
Well, the weight is an important part of the comp, as evidenced by Ken yesterday with Josh Allen and Will Howard. The
all about
weight
that
is
pudding.
It's an important part, like as a snack pack, an important part of the comp.
Somebody's going to... Nope. We're not doing that. 216-474-0092. Somebody's going to want to break off a piece of that snack pack. There, had
easy
to do it. I'm talking downtown. Howard Beck, senior NBA writer for The Ringer, coming up at 3 today. We'll talk the Cavs collapse against the Rockets. We'll also get some trade deadline thoughts. Max Brown, the lead college football writer for CW Sports. He's going to join us. He's had a couple things to say about the Browns at 2, the quarterback spot, and beyond. A former USC quarterback, by the way. So Max Brown at 4:20. Sean Merriman, lights out at 6 o'clock today. We'll get his thoughts on the final four teams remaining in the NFL playoff hunt there for a championship. We'll get his thoughts on the Browns, Myles Garrett's future here, and so much more. But as we get started on the show, Kevin Stefanski has taken back the play calling today. And Tommy Rees has said that he's established his trait and what he needs from a quarterback. This all leads to, does this mean we should no longer expect the quarterback to fit the Stefanski system? Is that what you heard today? More on that and Milrow mock draft blowback at 2:22 on 92.3 The Fan. Who will be going to the Shrine Bowl? That's where Shedeur Sanders will be playing this year. And who will be going to the Reese Senior Bowl, which, of course, my guy, Taylor Egglesma, which I believe is his name. He's a Canadian quarterback.
Who is this?
Taylor Egglesma.
Who are you talking about right now?
Elgersma, sorry.
Okay, you made me feel so good that you said the name wrong then, because I'm like, oh my God, who the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, him too.
Who is this guy?
Why don't you go back to West Virginia, because you can't talk for bleeps.
Who's this person you're trying to describe to me?
He's a Canadian quarterback.
Okay.
Played at Laurier.
He's your guy.
He is now.
He is, okay.
Yeah, he looks like Dolph Lundgren, like had a child with Brigitte Nielsen, and except they weren't staying in the motherland, and they actually might have a pure soul.
Okay.
He's got a howitzer for an arm.
He's got a howitzer for an arm.
Uh-huh. Fair. Talking downtown. And yeah, we've fallen for him in the last 24 hours. I found out about him yesterday,
right,
and here I am.
Give me the pros and the cons. Wind it up. Do we have a fun comp as well? Because you know I love my comps.
People have been saying Josh Allen.
Wow.
Yeah, more
is
so.
Is that because of the pudding?
He's got the pudding.
So he's a big guy. I'm assuming. Once you did the Dolph Lundgren thing.
He's 6'5", 225. Scouts are saying.
What's a little light?
Scouts are saying he could add another 25 to 30, no problem.
We might have to get him some protein shake. He's hitting in the Evan Mobley, Jared Allen world there when you get up to that skinny and that tall.
But, you know, you know me. I've been looking for a second quarterback to take. This is the guy. You get him in maybe the fourth, fifth round. Give him the Mulata.
Okay.
Right,
okay,
you let him go out there. He sits for 2 years. He learns American concepts.
I have
concepts.
No idea if you're just making up a complete person or if this person actually played quarterback at any level ever.
See, this is.
I have zero idea.
This is where I get
where
to
did
use
this guy come from?
You don't know ball. Clearly,
is that
Canada.
Clearly
he comes
Canada.
From Canada.
All right, so what school in Canada?
Laurier.
Laurier?
Yeah. That's in the
strong academics at Laurier is what I hear.
So I've heard it's equivalent between like D2 and D3 of American football.
Is that what it is?
But it's the creme de la creme. We're talking about the number one Canadian quarterback prospect.
Wow.
Since like 1983.
Did you like hop on a moose, go to Canada and find him? How did you scout this guy high and low?
As a ball knower.
Yeah.
Okay. As a man who knows ball.
You know ball. That's what everyone always says about you.
Everyone's like Nick Wilson, knower of ball.
Yeah.
I just find him. You know, I don't even try to. Right, I just tripped.
I tripped over Dolph Lundgren.
Look, it's Taylor Elgersma, right? The name it's not the easiest name to say. We couldn't say Holmgren in this town. Elgersma is going to be a bit of a B, but give him 2 years.
Yeah, it doesn't fit on a jersey very nicely, does it? It's like it's kind of just. I mean, do you know that people are going to have it misspelled all across the board?
That's fine. That's on them. Shenanigans ensued. What's his nuggets? And we're going to love it. Because Elger, you know what? Now I was going to try some turn a phrase. Turn it up for Taylor. Mm. Earn it for Elgersma. But I you seemed a little bit more fascinated about the will they, won't they go to the Shrine Bowl or the Senior Bowl there.
Well, I do think it proposes an interesting what do they do, and I thought it was interesting that he didn't say one way or another, because the Shrine Bowl has, I mean, Kyle McCord is there, but it's Shador Sanders, and that's really about it. Meanwhile, the Senior Bowl has Jalen Milroe, it's got Will Howard, it's got Riley Leonard, it's got Jackson Dart, it's got all the quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel, it's got all the quarterbacks Elgersma. That we've... That him too. Mm-hmm. It's got all the guys that we're talking about if you don't take a quarterback at number two. But Shador Sanders, who is 100% in play to be taken at number two, is living at the Shrine Bowl.
So what I think would make a lot of sense, because what teams do that's really smart...
And by the way, Cam Ward isn't doing either.
What teams do that's really smart is they'll send, you know, this contingency here, this contingency there. I think you send probably Tommy Rees to the Shrine Bowl. And then I think you sent Stefanski to the Senior Bowl, because Tommy already knows Milroe. Let Tommy get a different vantage point on Shador, and then maybe Stefanski and some other dude can go see my boy Elgersma and Jalen Milroe and Jackson Dart and the like.
I mean, but if they're really serious about Shador at number two, I understand what you're saying. I get that plan, but like Stefanski, you got to see him up close.
Yeah, you can
and you
do
will
that
at the draft, but like, well, I mean, I would want as many opportunities as I can.
You're going to go to Pro Day.
I know, but I want as many opportunities as I can to make sure that he's my
guy.
And
if you're that convinced that he's your guy, he's going to be one of your visits to Berea, right?
Well, yeah. So, like, so will Jalen Milroe, too.
You're going to get so many opportunities to see him. Well, but...
I mean, all these guys will
the
be.
The difference is you already... The reason
we
why you
Instagram
sent Rees...
The Instagram post that Milroe was already in Cleveland.
The reason you sent Rees is he already knows Milroe. But Stefanski doesn't. So I just think you can get different vantage points on both quarterbacks. You're almost cross-checking them at the I don't, they're not Senior Bowl games, but at the bowl games, and then you can come back together and you'll see both of them probably at their pro days, both of them probably,
right,
you know,
but this
in
is the
single.
This is the only time you'll have a chance to see them in an actual game structure.
Yeah, I don't know it's that crucially important to making the decision.
Okay.
Meaning like everybody has to be at one spot. I think it probably just makes more sense you split them across the two, no?
No, I mean, yeah, I get that side of things, but I do think it matters where Stefanski is relative, because I think they will split it up. But if I'm trying to read anything into it, and that's all we can really do at this point, if Stefanski goes towards Shador Sanders' side, yeah, I think that would make more sense.
You just would feel better because it means you think that's going to happen.
I think you would feel better if he didn't go to Shador Sanders' side.
No. No, I've given you a logical reason why.
Well, again, we could play this all day. I mean, we could play it all day. We're getting to a point where it's almost
Let's
stupid.
Play it.
Well, oh, okay. You want to see him play 11 on 11.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is your chance to see him on 11 on 11.
Yeah, so this matters more than the tape?
No, not at all. But this might be the most important part of dissecting him relative to anything else you'll be able to see the rest of the way.
Oh, no, I
Shorts
think,
and a t-shirt at the combine so doesn't do anything for me.
This is a fairly debatable thing. I had always understood that the pro day visits and like the personal visits to your spot, I had always thought that that was even more important than, unless you're hands-on coaching him, which is a totally different thing. But unless you're on the staff, whether you go and see them in person, I don't know that's going to be the difference between feeling comfortable taking Shador or not.
I think if you're trying to really figure out if you have a quarterback at number two or not, I think you spend as much time around that quarterback at number two as you possibly can. And maybe you find something that takes you out of number two, but like you have to spend as much time as you can there. Because if you're just, you know, stalking Jalen Milroe, that's nice, but Jalen Milroe isn't going to be the franchise.
I feel like you're like this close to pounding the table and saying this is an unserious franchise if Kevin Stefanski doesn't go to the Shrine Bowl.
I am not that close to doing that.
It feels close. It feels like we're on the precipice.
It's so unimportant. Why was he dodging the question?
Because they're weird about that stuff. Is that a question? He said
what his play calling duty was. They're trying to do something.
How are things going today? You know, things are things, and you know we deal with things when they come up, and you have good things, and you have bad things.
Yeah, you remember the Animorphs books? It's what it felt like. You could see where Tommy Rees was just morphing into Kevin Stefanski throughout that press conference.
You think Kevin was watching
well.
From the wings, just like
proud dad,
just kind of like. That's my boy.
He's like, this is why we hired you. You've done the training. Congratulations.
The Milroe stuff's been interesting with Tommy Rees. How? Because it's funny. Like on a national level, I think you know, there's still kind of opinions out there that just your thoughts on Shador are a little bit. They're just all over the place with Shador. They still are to this day. With Milroe, I've never seen a more divisive. I shouldn't say never. He is more divisive when we tweet about it. Like I did a PFF mock today because I was bored and needed something to do. And I got Jalen Milroe with a 67th pick. The first take was, he's not going to be there at 67. And I was like, okay, I don't control where quarterbacks are.
You're going to set this up, yeah.
But the second thing was just how it was either, yes, that's it, let's get him beyond the first round, or that guy stinks. And which makes the Reese hire even more interesting, and that knowledge of Jalen Milroe. Because every quarterback's about where do I take you and what are my expectations.
I mean, we talk about the most recent thing a lot of people see is what stays with them a lot of the time. That's why people talk about Will Howard, because they just watched a 4-game stretch where he was awesome. Most recent thing we saw with Milroe was him lose to Michigan in a bowl game, where the most impressive thing he did all day was take a TikTok before the game.
It's a good TikTok, though.
It was a good TikTok. Yeah, like it really pulled it off.
I think we've kind of slept on what a good TikTok
that was. Like the most memorable thing about that game is Jalen Milroe's TikTok 20 minutes prior to the game. It's like, well, how is that the case?
Well, but that does speak to, like, this is the same guy that threw for 370 yards, and I think it was 3 touchdowns, and I think he ran for another touchdown, and had 3 incompletions.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Against Alabama, or sorry, against Georgia, mm-hmm. in the upset. So it's weird. You're right that recency bias plays heavily there.
And by the way, I'm speaking for a lot of people that have not just done anything more than just exist in their 9-to-5 yep. world, where they go to their, you know, they go to their job and they talk to their buddies about sports. And they're I would say the most of those people don't even qualify into the people we're talking to right now, who are much better football fans, obviously, than your normal person.
But what's funny is when you start to get to the quarterback eye test, you like Will Howard was a better college quarterback than Jalen Milroe. that doesn't mean he's going to be the better pro quarterback.
Of course.
And that's where this becomes fascinating, because I do think the lines have never been more blurred. Like, okay, when you watched Josh Heupel play 20 years ago, you knew there wasn't a chance in hell that guy was going to be a franchise quarterback. Or Jason White. You knew those guys were system quarterbacks.
Well, we can bring relative... Dylan Gabriel is not going to be a franchise quarterback. Yeah. His numbers were awesome in college.
Well, but... like, Will Howard is the guy that blurs those realities. Kyle McCord, which we'll get to at some point, and all the hype around that, blurs those realities. And then a guy like Jalen, who, again, overall, I think he had 36 touchdowns this year. He had 16 passing and then 20 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he did have 11. You were right. I shorted him two touchdowns, or two interceptions. I think you shorted him one, but you were closer. So you win.
So I win the Price is Right
you
Showcase.
You win the Price is Right Showcase. And he had 11 interceptions this year. Now, that is going to be a guy that if you take him, like I heard Baskin and Phillips talking about at 2, good luck. But if you take him at 26, maybe it's a different kind of thing.
Yeah, my worry about him is that he really did look the best he's ever looked under Tommy Rees.
Why is that a worry? He got Tommy
Rees.
Well,
no, I know, but he was better 2 years ago. I don't like when people go backwards.
That makes sense.
Even if it's because we can connect the dots there where Tommy Rees is in the building and that'd be the guy. I just don't like, I'm very high on... obviously, when you see athletes in college, when they progressively get better and better and better, I just don't like a step backwards at that point in life.
It's tough because he had four really bad games this year. But that's about it. And by the way, most of them came in the second half of the season, which is the other thing about recency bias. But 216-474-0092, Tommy Rees. We're going to get to him breaking down the traits he needs from a quarterback, but Tommy Rees, non-committal to the Shrine Bowl or the Senior Bowl. Where do you think, how should they split this up? Where does Stefanski go? Do you want him with Shador? Do you want him with Milroe and Dart and Elgersma? Where do you want on this? And when we come back, we do have to get to one NFL executive setting the trap and the entire league taking the bait. That leads off Quick Hits coming up at 2:43 on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
Titans exec Chad Brinker made a stink yesterday when saying his team wouldn't pass up a generational talent at one. And then during his appearance on WEEI, insider Adam Schefter put a lot of stock into those comments.
The defensive lineman from Penn State or the wide receiver cornerback from Colorado. That quote told me that they are not locked in to take a quarterback at one. That is not what New England wanted to hear, that quote today.
What the hell are we talking about? January 22nd.
This might just be draft theater. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, hey, GM accountable for thing he said on January 22nd. Never happened. Literally, we will forget about this a month from now. Because there will be seven other things that Chad Brinker says. It's one thing for, like, the fans to do that. One, shame on the whatever afternoon show is on WEI now for being like, oh, did we just lose Abdul Carter? Oh, we're not going to get Travis Hunter? What are we doing here? Wah, wah, wah.
Come on, you act like if Schefter came on and we wouldn't do the same thing.
I don't think I would do the, whoa!
Well, you wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't do the shtick of, I can't believe he just said something. No, we would talk about it, and then you know what inevitably we'd say?
Wait, was his reaction, can you replay it for me? Were their reactions that out of bounds?
No, it's at the very end there. I think it's Ted Johnson, actually.
Was it that wild?
It's Jumbo or Dirk Diggler.
You're just saying names now.
That quote today.
All right, I don't think
that was way too at the end.
we'll get to it in a second. It was Money Mike. It was Cisco the Kid. It was definitely one of those guys.
Classic Cisco the Kid.
That gave
us. Me.
It was Fatso. It was one of those.
That is not what New England wanted to hear. That quote today.
That wasn't bad. That was
Draft is ruined.
No, I've had bigger reactions for dropping a donut on the ground. What are we talking about?
No joke. Now we're on the set. Okay, now
there we go.
Okay.
Omaha!
The Cowboys closing in on a deal to make Brian Schottenheimer their next head coach. The Cowboys have whiffed on this so bad.
Yeah.
They've watched this just completely blow up in their face, and I don't know their way out now, but it's not going to be Dion then. Schottenheimer's the guy.
You can't go from Mike McCarthy to Dion to maybe Kellen Moore to Brian Schottenheimer. I'm rooting for him because he's Marty's boy, and like It'd be a cool story if he ended up being a good head coach.
Nick Wilson roots for nepotism. You heard it here first.
In this case, yeah. Well, because Marty's gone. If Marty was alive, I'd be just outraged about this, the typical Washington shenanigans. Sorry, that's a different show. I kind of rooting for him.
I can't believe. I mean, Jerry Jones is 83 years old. I can't believe this is what he's going to go down swinging with.
You just know his kids are like, we got like 3 more years. You know that they just, okay, let him hire
Brian. You think Steven wants out of the Cowboys business?
I think the second that Jerry Jones is no longer of this mortal coil or with it all together, they will be firing whoever they hire this time. And it's like Brian Schottenheimer to not just be seen. This is Jason Garrett 2.0. The only way, he's got to win a Super Bowl soon.
It's very uninspired is what I would say. Cowboys fan, you got to be pissed off.
Well, remember, like, when it comes to Brian Schottenheimer, the first like 7 years of his career was because he was on his dad's staff.
Yeah.
I think he's been fired more times than any offensive coordinator in the NFL. And again, I'm rooting for him. I want it to happen.
If I'm Dak, I might want out now.
It is a galactically embarrassing hire.
If I'm Dak, find me a way out.
Omaha! Big talk. We got to get to this. This is hard-hitting sports talk here. The national championship game ratings are out. Ohio State, Notre Dame, the ratings were down. Do you care?
Well, I like ratings. I like ratings because ratings are representational of what we in society thought about the game. So I know you don't like ratings. I like ratings.
No, I think it's the most contrived thing ever. I think ratings and what impacts ratings are, they're so variable. Just the idea of when the game was, who were the matchups? What time did you kick off? There are so many things that impacts this that the immediate reaction.
Ohio State Notre Dame was supposed to be awesome because of the program.
It was still awesome.
It turned out to, from a rating standpoint, not be awesome.
Yeah, but that's not, no casual fan is like, I got to withhold my take on Ohio State Notre Dame till I see the ratings. That is only sports talk blowhards that do that.
No, I blame
Colin Coward. That's the dude. Him and maybe Rome started it. I hate it so much.
No, but I mean, it does show the interest. Whether it was the interest there for casual SEC football fan that drives a lot of the college football business.
Yeah, you just created a narrative based off something that may or may not be true.
Third lowest playoff title game viewership on record.
It's the ultimate smoking gun. Because you can say it's attributed to anything, but you can't prove it. And by the way,
we can prove that the numbers were down, though. I mean, they were down, though.
College football has to recognize
something went wrong here.
Yeah, okay, but how much of that is the schedule? How much of that is the fact that a lot of these games were streaming as well as actual traditional ratings?
But they have to figure out why that was.
Yeah, but why does John Q. Public give a rip about it? It's just really smart people in this business farting into a microphone because it makes them sound smart.
I don't think it's about making anyone sound smart. I just think it's interesting.
That's like 75% of any other show I hear.
You got your serious face on. I mean, it's okay.
Omaha! Oh, no, I'm not mad. No, that is like, I think Colin Coward is
you
like...
You asked, I told you. I think it's interesting.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting.
But my point is, the reason why it's contrived is the only people to find it interesting are sports talk guys.
That might be true. There's a lot of things that we as sports talk radio hosts do just because we find it interesting. Like, there, that could give you a laundry list of things that we do just because we find it interesting.
It's all about me, baby.
It's self-serving. Sure, fine, but I do find it interesting. All right. Sean McVay hoping for Matthew Stafford clarity sooner rather than later. McVay, apparently his wife released on the podcast that he had all sorts of rib injuries at the very end of the season. In week 15, he broke like 4 ribs, apparently. Sean McVay's like, we didn't find any of that. That's not how we saw that. Do you feel like this is going to break up now? It seems like Sean McVay is kind of at the end of his time with Matthew Stafford, but Matthew Stafford doesn't seem like he's at the end of his time playing football.
You know, every time that there's a breakup coming for Matthew Stafford, we get clues from his wife first. It was very similar to stuff that happened in Detroit.
Well, yeah, I like her podcast every now and again. It's not like I'm like tuning in to see what she has to say, but anytime there's clips, I think her delivery is so good for being someone that doesn't actually do this medium.
I'll never forgive her for dating his backup out of jealousy.
I thought she refused that. Didn't she? I thought she refuted that very heavily.
Yeah, of course. After she said it into a microphone. Then she came back and was like, no, that's not it. Because she heard what people said in the comments.
I mean, the guy was not anywhere close to as good looking as Matthew Stafford.
Doesn't matter. Took the bull by the horns.
Did she secure the bag at the end of the day?
Yeah, that just means that Matthew Stafford might be a bit of a cuck. That's all.
Seems like it worked is all I hear.
With love and respect.
A cuck?
I've always had a love of muscle cars and 70s trucks, and I went down a Reels rabbit hole of 60s, 70s, 80s Chevy trucks last night.
Sure.
And my algorithm was feeding me all that I could eat up with it. It was fantastic. It was you know, the Sierra 2500, and then it was the C10. It was just one beautiful remade truck after another.
I thought you were in like a Sarshone ad for a second. I was like, did the segment end?
Chevy, hey, together, let's drive. What was the last Reels TikTok rabbit hole you went down? Because, guys, I stayed up an extra hour last night doing this.
All right. So my wife was one of the few people that she deleted TikTok when TikTok went away. She's like, all right, I'll offload it and I'll re-download it whenever it does come back. I didn't do that. I kept it. And so I have TikTok, right? But she doesn't have it. And so I was in a TikTok web trying to figure out on TikTok how to get it back for people that deleted their TikTok.
Oh, see, that's not a fun rabbit hole to go down. No, give me...
You asked. I mean, it was a half hour of me trying to figure that out and using TikTok to try to figure it out.
Maybe I should have been more specific. What, like, the last pleasurable
one? My TikTok rabbit hole is just all golf things.
Oh, I thought it would be, like, Theo Von. I feel like...
Yeah, that's fair, too. I do. Theo Von's funny. I like him. Yeah. It's comedy stuff. It's golf stuff. And that's really... That's about it for my TikTok.
I'm telling you, man. You gotta just start looking up muscle cars from the 70s.
What do they do that's different? Is it just a bunch of different... Is this, like...
Different styles, it's, you know, different remakes.
Like when you watch the car shows on, like they used to have a bunch of them on, like after the Indians games, right? Is it like that, but like the TikTok version?
Yeah, but everybody does it a little differently, which was what makes it interesting. But they almost shoot it like you would shoot like a Playboy pinup back in the day of like for like a video. It's like a slow, it's going on the whole body, all the curves. I'm going to look at the back end for a minute. Oh, wait, let's go look at the headlights. Oh, man.
Am I the only one to use TikTok for instructional things?
Yeah. Yeah,
YouTube is too long of videos at this point. I mean, sometimes I'm in on it, but I'll use TikTok if I want the answer and I want it in less than a minute, I go to TikTok. If I want the elongated version, like how to do it properly, then I'll go on YouTube and I'll check out the 7 or 8 minutes.
That's why I don't do TikTok.
You do it, Mac?
I'll do that every now and then.
But that's why I don't do TikTok, is because the detail's not enough. I need every step. Like, for me to feel comfortable doing the thing, home improvement, like when I replaced the carburetor on my old tractor, it was like a 30-minute video that they had truncated things in between.
Yeah,
but that was exactly what I want.
A lot of the YouTube videos, they spend the first 2.5 minutes introducing you to everything and then giving you the background
and
then they get to it and then they recap what they did. And before you know it, it's 7 minutes. TikTok is, it's wham, bam, thank you, man.
No, because I want you to tell me everything that I need to do this job up front. Right? Because there's nothing, if you've ever had to work on anything and you get 17 minutes into like an hour job and you realize you're missing one wrench, oh man, you want to talk, I snap.
Some things you can't obviously do on TikTok, but so like much, some things are, they're there.
Okay, this makes sense. I'm a prep guy, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That is exactly, if I'm going to paint, I'm going to prep, I'm going to make sure everything's where it needs to be so that I don't have to step away from. And I do the same thing if any attempts I've done to work on a car or change the oil or anything. And cooking. Everything better be in front of me.
Yeah, but I don't need 10 minutes, you know? Like I had to spackle some things a couple weeks ago. I just needed the minutes to be like, all right, remind me what I need to do again.
No, I love it all. Love it all. That is Quick Hits. Oh, yeah. I talk last. 216-474-0092. I actually do want to know, or at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What was the last TikTok or Reels rabbit hole you went down? Again, those 70s Chevys, man, they get me where I need to go. Howard Beck talks about the Cavs as the best team in the NBA next on 92.3 The Fan.